The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard that it was said, 'An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.' But I say to you, offer no resistance to one who is evil. When someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn the other one as well. If anyone wants to go to law with you over your tunic, hand over your cloak as well. Should anyone press you into service for 1 mile, go for 2. Give to the one who asks of you, and do not turn your back on one who wants to borrow. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies, and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your heavenly Father. For he makes his sun rise on the bad and the good, and causes rain to fall on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what recompense will you have? Do not the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brothers only, what is unusual about that? Do not the pagans do the same? So be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
My brothers and sisters, good evening. In these readings today, both in our first reading from Leviticus in the Old Testament and in this Gospel reading we heard just now from Matthew's Gospel, we are told to be perfect. To be perfect. And St. Paul, in that second reading we heard from his first letter to the Corinthians, he tells us why. He says, asks rhetorically almost, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God, that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit of God dwells in you," he says. So that's why we are called to be perfect. And again, we get that response, we get that message in the first reading and in the second reading, to be perfect. And I'm going to come back to that. But what St. Paul said, because we're temples of the Holy Spirit, this is why we're called to be perfect, because we are temples of the Holy Spirit. Do you know that when you were baptized, the Blessed Trinity literally came and possessed your soul? Just as we talk about, you know, demons coming possessing souls and needing to do exorcisms, the reverse happened when you were baptized. The Blessed Trinity came and possessed your soul. And they stay there until you kick them out through mortal sin. Thank God, however, that if that should happen, the doctor is in, and we have confession, and that's the beautiful thing that happens in confession, is the sin is cleared away, and a nice, fitting place is again made for the Blessed Trinity to come and dwell. And that's why when mortal sin kicks out the Blessed Trinity, literally kicks them out of your soul, thank God, confession brings them right back down into it, and the Blessed Trinity again possesses our soul. But I want to come back to this perfect thing, because we're not told to be good, we're not told to be nice, those are all good things, and the list goes on. We're told to be perfect. But what does perfect mean? Perfect means, literally, that we are called to be saints. And I've preached a little bit on this before, for those of you who have heard me preach on this before, it's one of my favorite topics to preach on, that we are called to be saints. And that's what the Lord is getting at. Not just, again, good people who one day, you know, finally after a long time in purgatory get to heaven. I mean, granted, that's better than nothing. But we're called to be saints. We're called to that type of perfection. And I don't think we think about this enough. I don't think that we think enough that this is our vocation. You know, when we talk about vocations, when we talk about priesthood and religious life and marriage and consecrated single life, before we're called to any of those different vocations, we are all called to holiness. We are all called to perfection, and that is by virtue of our baptism. So when you were first baptized, you received that calling to be perfect, to be a saint. Now, you may not end up one day formally being canonized by the church and having statues made after you and churches named after you and but maybe, you know, but whether or not that should ever happen as a formal canonization process, you were called nevertheless to be a saint. You are called to attain such a level of perfection in this life that purgatory shouldn't even be necessary. I mean, that's the whole point of this life, to one day, to eventually get to the point that we have learned to love God as He loves. And that's what perfection comes down to love God as God loves, to love God with all our heart, our mind, our being, our whole being, as Scripture says, and to love our neighbor as ourselves, as we love ourselves, to have the same kind of love that God has. That's the type of perfection we're called to. So that when our time does finally come, and of course we don't know when that's going to be, when our time does finally come, that we have done the one thing that we're asked to do in this life, which is to become perfect, to get to the point where we have learned to love God as God loves, so that when we do go, we go straight to heaven. Now, thank God, in His mercy, He has something called purgatory, so that if we don't die perfect, we still have one last chance to purify before we go to heaven. But I wonder how many of us actually think about this. How many of us, and I include myself in this, I don't mean to sound like I'm preaching to you because I'm preaching to myself too, but how many of us every single day ask ourselves, am I moving closer to perfection or further away from perfection? There's a maxim in the spiritual life that says that we're never standing still, that we're always moving. But then the question becomes, are we moving towards God or are we moving away from God? And perhaps this is a good thing to ask ourselves, perhaps each night before we go to bed. How did I do today? Did I move closer to God or did I move further away from God? Because I know I didn't stand still, because there's no standing still in the spiritual life. Did I go closer to perfection? Did I go closer to working on my faults, to loving others, to loving God? And I want to kind of pass on what our Lord gives us as some advice. We don't have it in this particular gospel, but throughout the gospels, the Lord tells us, He gives us some advice, how to do this. And we call these things the evangelical counsels because they're not precepts, they're not commandments, they're not things you have to do. We have those as well in Scripture. There are plenty of things we have to do. But then the Lord also gives us these other things that we call them counsels because He didn't require it. He said, this is the easiest way to do it. This is the most fast, most sure, most direct way of doing it, of becoming perfect. And we call them the evangelical counsels. And what are those? Chastity, poverty, and obedience. And you think, well, wait a minute. You know, Father, you're telling me that I need to, you know, we're all going to be called to be, you know, consecrated religious, to be nuns or monks. Or, well, no, not all of you. Some of you. I know some of you are. And thank God we have five sisters here with us tonight. And you're going to hear more from them later. And I'm actually going to come back to them. But we're all called to embrace the evangelical counsels to a degree. You know, we're all called, obviously, to be chaste. But for each of us, that's going to mean something different. For a married person, of course, that means something much different from a priest or a nun, who, for us, chastity means celibacy. For those of you dating, chastity means, you know, certainly proper boundaries and no sexual relations before marriage. Chastity, we're all called to chastity. We're not all called to celibacy, certainly. But what about poverty and obedience? We're all called to be detached from the things of this world. But, you know, I as a diocesan priest, I don't take that vow of poverty. I'm not a monk. I'm not a friar. I'm not one of the sisters out there. So I'm allowed to actually have a wallet with money in it, and I'm allowed to have a bank account and credit cards. But I'm still called to be detached. I'm still called to not, you know, be so consumed with those things. And all of us are. But some of us are called to that radical poverty. And that's what the counsel is. To renounce everything, our Lord says. If you wish to follow me, give up everything. Sell everything you have, give the money to the poor, and come follow me, He says. Now, all of us, we're not given the strength to do that, and all of us are not called to do that. But we're all called to embrace that counsel to a degree. And then the same with obedience. You know, certainly we're all called to be obedient to Christ and to the church. But again, how many of us are called to be obedient to a religious superior who can have us move, you know, whenever we need to? Or I need you to go to this country and be on mission there. You know, We're not all called to that. But this is, we see in the scriptures that, and we call these things in our tradition of the church, like I said, the evangelical councils, that the Lord kind of offers them to us as, this is the most sure way. And like I said, we're all called to accept and to live those evangelical councils to a degree. Now, I said I'm going to come back to the nuns here, because we have in our midst five sisters from the Servants of Our Lord and the Virgin of Montserrat, a wonderful, wonderful religious order. And the Mother Superior, who is with them, who is actually younger than me by a few months, get that, Mother Immaculate, she's here. And you know that she grew up in this parish, and she's going to talk to you some more downstairs during the fellowship. And you'll have a chance to meet and talk to all the nuns. But they, and the monks and the friars in the world, they embrace those three evangelical councils completely. But it's not just for them, and that's kind of the point I'm trying to make. They live it to a radical degree, to be a witness, to be an example to us, but we're all called to embrace them to a degree. And that's the point I want to make, is we're all called to perfection. We're all called, and obviously if we're not doing what the Lord says, we're not going to ever attain that perfection. We're all called to a certain vocation, of course, and we're only going to be happy and fulfilled if we're doing what God wants us to do. But it's important to keep that in mind, that this is what the Lord calls us to, and to what degree is the Lord calling us to embrace those evangelical counsels. And one of the reasons why I wanted to have the nuns here this month, and we had some seminarians here last month, they couldn't be here tonight, of course, because last month they were just coming off their retreat, Christmas break, and getting ready for school, and so they were able to come down tonight. They're busy studying, I'm sure. But we have, you know, I wanted to have them here last month, I want to have the nuns here this month, to show us, to be a witness to us, that this is what we're called to a lesser degree. Some of us are called to that. And I want to make that point real quick as well. You know, I always tell guys that every Catholic young man should at least consider the possibility that God could be calling him to the priesthood. And just as I like to tell every Catholic young man that, I like to tell every Catholic young woman that you need to at least consider the possibility that God may be calling you to religious life, to consecrated religious life, to be a bride of Christ, to be an image of the church in this world. And as you'll see when you interact with them, they're some of the happiest people you'll ever meet. And I can attest to that. I got to travel with them to Argentina last Christmas on a mission trip and talk about obedience. They do missions all over the world. The Superior tells them to go somewhere, they go. And there is a certain, and I preached on this last month, there's a certain joy and happiness that comes in doing God's will. And not worrying about how or why, or but just doing God's will. So I just offer that to us as an example, that we are all called to perfection. And again, that's going to be a little bit different for each of us, the route that the Lord has for each of us to attain perfection. But like I said, we're all called to that perfection. We're all called to become saints one day. And I just offer that to you as just a final thing to think about. Do we, and this ties so much into our theme of La Résistance, because how many people in society today, really actually think about on a regular basis, am I moving more towards perfection? How many people in society, I don't mean to sound like we're judging them, we're not judging them, I really wonder sometimes. And I wonder about myself, too. And that's a good thing, to be wondering, you know, like I said, am I going closer to perfection today, or did I move further away from it? But do we think about that? Because so often society tells us there's just a sense of good enough, you know. Don't so much worry about that, you know. I'm a good person. I'm a nice person. I don't need to go to Mass every Sunday. I don't need to pray every day, you know. It's all right if I do this every once in a while. No, that's not perfection. That's not what we're called to. Now, thank God we have a loving and merciful God who's always willing to forgive us and pick us back up and start us over again and give us another chance again and again and again, as many times as we need it. But what we're called to is perfection. We're not called to be good enough. We're not called to just be nice people who trudge through life. We're called to be perfect. You're called to be a saint. Think about that. I want each of you to think about what your name sounds like with the word saint in front of it. And to think of the possibility that in 500 years from now, people are praying to saint you, you know, when they come to church. Think about that possibility. That's what you're called to. That if you do not attain that, it is 100% completely on us. It's on each and every one of us because the Lord is giving us all the grace and all the strength we will ever need to attain that. The Lord tells us today very clearly, not mincing words whatsoever, that we are all called to perfection. And why? Because we are temples of the Holy Spirit, that the Blessed Trinity has possessed us and lives inside of us, and that they call us to love as they love, to be perfect and to be saints.